Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Amadeus 360 on the line with me. He's a 10-year vet doing beats and producing. He has a new project out. Amadeus, tell the people what's going on with you.
All right, well, got a couple of projects going. Of course, we just wrapped up A Serious Problem with M.O.P. featuring Mike Beast Teflon.
Yes.
Video is on, YouTube is getting a lot of traction. People have passed the video around.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people asking where to buy it. It's a serious beat.
Cool.
You know, take a listen to it. People are very surprised at the sound. Of course, Bill and Fame, just being the vets that they are, they murdered it.
Right. Now, Amadeus, tell us about your name, Amadeus 360. Let's get some rundown on that.
Well, it is my real middle name, born with it. To add the 360, like I say, because so many people are referring to themselves as Amadeus is not their real name. So
right.
It gets mixed up with the other artists. You know, they're making that whole Mozart reference to mm-hmm. themselves since they make music, quote unquote. So I had to add that 360 just means that I have a full circle of knowledge on when it comes to making music.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the current beat you just laid down for M.O.P. and Teflon's Serious Problem. How did you begin to even think about what you wanted that sound to sound like?
I'm a massive, and when I say massive, anything Gangstar Foundation. And of course, I've had the privilege over many years to be in the presence of DJ Premier, ask uh-huh. him questions, some other producers. People refer to my style as very Premier-like.
Right, I hear you.
So I just got to tell you, when it comes to anything Gangstar-related, M.O.P., Bumpy, any of that, I already have, like, this particular sound in my mind for guys like Bill and Fame.
Okay.
And that's why it works so well.
Now, what's the process like? Okay, first, a little background. You used to DJ, correct?
Yeah, all over New York, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I DJed. Made my first record in 88, 87.
Mm-hmm.
I redid Don't Laugh.
Let me laugh
I
first.
I made my own version of LL Cool J, I'm Bad.
Okay.
And I made it I'm Tough. And I had a Tascam recorder. And after that, I tried my hands at other I had a little group. You know, it was a hip-hop / troupe type of group.
Oh, okay.
So,
you were singing?
And, yeah, a little bit of his hip hop and singing, right, correct.
Okay, so you got bars?
Absolutely not.
You don't have no bars?
Absolutely not.
It's all right.
Absolutely
it's all right.
Not. But, you know, you leave that to the professionals.
Exactly, I hear you. So tell me, how much influence from DJing, and I mean, you know, having such a great ear for music, how did that transfer to you becoming a producer and making beats? What influence?
You know, honestly, you know, we both know that there's a million artists. There are a million people making beats, especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But I do come from an era where a lot of things were more manual. You know,
right.
We come from the record cassette 8-track generation. So
right.
We have a different ear
right.
for music. You know, we grew up on, you know, Stevie Wonder,
right.
Songs in the Keys of Life. You know, the OJs, even the Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I started to recognize as an individual that it's a possibility that I may have a different perspective and look and a talent that especially a lot of some younger guys don't have
mm-hmm.
because of my background and, you know, and DJing around the city.
Right.
So I started to transfer that in and spent a gang of dough and 2010 bought my own equipment. Studio from the turntables to that.
Right. Was that transition easy for you, or were you like, what the nappy peppy pew pew mess is this?
It was hard because of it's a learning curve.
Right.
And
right.
You know, you have to know how to understand the production process. And that was what took me many, many years, you know, to have a sound in your brain that you have to learn how to transfer that into that MPC.
Okay.
And that's probably was the biggest hurdle for me, because I've known many important people, been around a lot of things with them, but when you don't have anything to offer them,
right,
you know, right off the bat that's a quality product, it's a hindrance. And right. I'm not the type to be faking. So
how does that process work as well? So you're making beats and you have a beat and you'd be like, man, this, I would like to get so-and-so this beat. How do you go about that process?
Well, one, you gotta, and this is just me. I can't speak for other guys.
Right.
I'm not the ground-nosing type. For me, I'm all about the artists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, you know, that whole popularity. I could care less how popular you are. For me, it's got to be about, I know the type of artist that you are, and your sound, your lyrics, your delivery has to inspire me.
Right.
So that could be the guy that nobody knows, or the person that's already sold, you know, 15 million albums.
Mm-hmm.
So what I hear is, I hear the way a person comes, the way they flow. If they have a background and a history, I go into that and I listen to how they rhyme on different people's beats. Who's produced for them before?
Mm-hmm.
Those things all influence me to give a new sound to that individual. I've had several, you know, at small groups I've done things for, and it really worked out for them.
So you're known for hip-hop bangers, but what other genres do you enjoy producing for, if any?
Well, I enjoy, you know, of course, anything R&B-ish,
mm-hmm.
You know, some pop, depending on the angle. But I am definitely, I enjoy complex beats. I like complexity. Monotony is not my thing. You need to be able to hear the change-up. I need to be able to enhance who you are as an artist. I want to give you that.
What has been some of the top three headbangers you was like, yo, that's hot?
You mean as MCs or production-wise?
Production-wise.
I can answer that right off the bat. Okay, for one, you know, anything Premier-related, it's been my biggest influence. Anything.
Uh-huh.
But second to that would be P-Rock, Lost Professor, Lord Finesse, even A.G.
Okay.
A.G. is an incredible producer. Incredible producer.
Wow.
You know, these are the guys that really, really motivated me. Diamond D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that literally bring you to tears when you hear what they do.
Right.
Because the complexity and the mindset that it takes to produce that type of record, it takes a lot to even have that.
Right, right.
To produce something like that.
So speaking on that caliber, what advice do you have for someone who's interested in making beats? Obviously, you're a good student. So, you know, definitely I know they need to listen to a lot of work to try to, I guess, gather up their own. But what would you say they should do?
This is just, like I said, it's my opinion.
Right.
I think that, for one, you need to have a serious passion for it.
Okay.
If the passion is not there and you're looking for popularity points, you may win for a minute. But if you want to produce for the long period,
mm-hmm.
for people that really have, like, their hook in the game, you really need a serious passion for it. It needs to be something that you eat, sleep,
right.
drink 24/7 involuntarily. And what I mean by that is it's something that you cannot even help. It's like, I'll give you a good example. Like with M.O.P., M.O.P. is my favorite rap duo in the world. Has always been. I've been with them since day one.
Right.
Fame and Bill, Tef, their delivery is second to none. They can ride with these same young boys today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so incredible about these two guys. Not many people are able to pull off what they're pulling off today. M.O.P., they are making better records today than they made 10 years ago.
Mm.
And that says a lot. And to see young people checking for them, to be there at shows with them, on stage with them, and see these young people checking for them, it's a big deal, you know, to see that. So when I say have a passion for this art form, you have to have a respect for the artist. That will bring you any type of longevity if you have a respect for what the artists do.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the relationship between the beat maker, the producer, and the artist. I remember working at a label, I'm not going to say, and it was a very famous artist that was in the office. And when the artist and the producer left, the conversation was, The artist is the worst, but that producer, we need him. But how are we going to get him without the artist?
Right.
On that, how does that formulate when you're trying to do something like get a deal or you're working together? Some important tips that you can give people so there's no tyranny between the two. And it's like, well, I hate you. You know, well, they ain't like your lyrics anyway.
If it's a business deal, it's a business deal. Me personally, I'm not the one to deal with difficult people. I don't want to say names, but right. I've had some pretty important names that I've gotten on the horn with them. They're like, yo, your beats are crazy. I just got something nice going yesterday. And luckily that's somebody that I can see we're going to make magic.
Okay.
But difficult artists are just that. But if it's a business deal, you have to do what you have to do. If it's about selling records and it's about making money.
Right.
Me personally, I'm a fan of the music. So, and the artists themselves. So my preference is I look at the whole money thing later. I know that sounds crazy and there's going to be people that's going to be like, okay, whatever. Me personally, I've done well for myself in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at working with people that I know are dope artists regardless. And if, if anything, you know, when money does happen, it's nice.
Right.
But I need to know when I go to sleep at night that I made the illest record with one of the dopest groups or dopest MCs on the planet. And then when people hear my music and I like to go to YouTube and I look at the comments and I'm reading the comments about how incredible my track is or how these guys flow on my beat. And I got zero thumbs down. That's what inspires me.
Nice. And so speaking of pay, what's the scale like or how does producers get paid? Do they get a flat rate just for the beat? Is there points, royalties?
It depends on the artist. Like I say, I'm a fan. I've made so many beats for people and just given it to them to $100 for a beat. It just depends. It depends on what they can afford.
Right.
It depends on if it's something that's already in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in your arsenal and it's been sitting there for a year, or you may have, like I have two requests right now.
Uh-huh.
From two people and two artists with a little buzz behind them. And they're paying for these tracks because they're tailored
right.
to what they want as an artist. So that's going to cost a little bit more.
Right.
Because what that requires is you as a producer, your creativity is being dictated.
Right.
Now.
Right.
And to be honest with you, it's not as enjoyable. You have them wanting things that are not necessarily you would think as a, if you were by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Making the beat you would not even think of using.
Yeah, I can imagine. When you're by yourself, speaking of that, and you're producing beats, what's your mojo? How do you prepare? Do you sleep at night and then something pops in your head and you're like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, I'll get up at 3:00 in the morning
and
just turn my studio equipment on and I'll start knowing I have to be somewhere in the morning.
Wow.
I'll stay up all night cranking out something out of nowhere.
Wow.
I'll hear a noise or a particularly like a sound, a TV commercial, something, and it will bother me
right.
until I get up and do something with it. Like right now, I'm dealing with a Hill Street Blues theme song.
Okay.
And I gave a guy a taste of that last night. He was like, yeah, this is about to be really retarded. And people are going to hear this and... Yeah, so I have to make music that I'm inspired by.
Right.
If it gives me a chill down my spine, or if I can imagine when the production is done that Premier made that track, and I can't even believe that I made that.
Right.
I know I did my job.
Cool. And you talk about commercials. Have you ever done jingles or film scoring? Or are you heading in that direction? Like, what's next for you?
No, I have not, but I would like to do that. Most definitely would be interested.
What's next? You know, you still going to continue to work with MOP? You have any other artists in the
arsenal?
Well,
we do have another one. I've already completed another one. It's going, believe me, it's going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a minute to recognize that I do have a unique ear and some of the things, such as a serious problem. The way I chop my samples and the things that I choose to use are pretty unique. We do have a new project that will be coming. I have a DeMar Warren coming out. I have a and one with Rusty Jux. It's going to be crazy.
Listen, I love it. I thank you for stopping by. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So definitely keep us in the loop. And what's your social media?
It is NoQuantize360 on Instagram. The video can be seen on YouTube. Amadeus360, A Serious Problem. I have another single I just dropped with DV alias Christ Immortal. It was a sample given to me by Kid Capri.
Okay.
So, yeah, Kid Capri let me have the sample. Nice. I flipped it, and I got DV on it immediately. So it's an incredible track. I really put my foot in that.
Well, that sounds great, and at least you're keeping busy. You know, that's what we want.
Oh, yeah, I've got a lot on my plate. Yeah, a little too much, to be honest.
Well, thank you for including us and being one of your media outlets.
Thank you.